Bibles, if you would please, tonight to Genesis chapter number 15. Genesis chapter number 15. We've been studying the life of a man by the name of Abraham. Now, anytime you study some of the great men and women of the Bible, there's always a danger that comes with that. And you say, preacher, what is it? It's that we get so caught up with the individual that we miss the God who's at work in the life of that individual. And as we learn about Abraham, the friend of God, if we're not careful, we'll miss the God of Abraham. And whenever you come to the Bible, it's God's revelation of Himself. That means God is making Himself known, and God is a God of people, a God of individuals. He's at work in the lives of people. And so as we look at that individual, we want to see what God reveals about Himself, that we might know Him and understand not only how He worked in their life, but how He works in mine and your lives. Because it's through seeing God at work in lives in Scripture that I translate that I understand that and begin to apply it to my own personal life. And I recognize that Abraham's God is my God. And that the God that was at work in his life is at work in my life. And the God that cared for him is the God who cares for me. And we want to understand that. And when you come to Genesis chapter number 15, it's a very pivotal chapter in the life of Abraham. And we're going to read the first six verses tonight, and then we'll come back in another message probably and deal with the final verses of the chapter. Look, if you would, verse number 1. He said, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in mine house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell. And that's the word count. That's what he's saying. And count the stars. Tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord. And he, God, counted it to him for righteousness. Let's pray together. Father, as I bow before you tonight, I thank you for this passage of Scripture. I thank you for what you've taught me from it. Lord, as I see you at work in the life of Abraham, I understand something of how you desire to work in my own life. Lord, I recognize that the promises you make to Abraham are not promises that you made to me, but yet I get to enter into them because of the fact, Lord, that you said in Abraham all the families of the earth would be blessed. And Lord, you have blessed me through the sending of your Son through Abraham's seed. And through him, Lord, I've been blessed. And I thank you for that tonight. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to see you in the pages of Scripture. And Lord, that we would learn from you. I pray, God, you'd work in each of our lives. You know our need tonight. And I pray you'd help us. And I'll thank you for what you do for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, I wrote atop this chapter of the Bible, wow, what a God. You see, if we're not careful, we start looking at Abraham and we say, wow, what a man. But we forget that Abraham was just a man. There's highs in his life, there's lows in his life, there's victory in his life, but yet you also see there is failure in his life. But when I look at God, I don't see any highs and lows. I don't see success and failure. I see a God of success. I see a God of achievement. I see a God who is always the same and is at work in each of our lives. I began to look at what God was to Abraham and then began to look at who God is in my own life and was blessed by that. And I thought about, listen, Abraham, wow, what a God that Abraham had. And then I stop and say, wow, what a God I have tonight. What a God you have tonight, and what a blessing it is. Notice, if you would, this phrase in verse number 1. He said, after these things. That's an important phrase. It notes progression, movement in the life of this patriarch, this man of God. And remember that in chapter 14, Abram has fought a battle with Chedorlaomer and the Attila the Hun of that day and his armies, and won a stunning victory over him, recovered Lot and all the captives sons of Sodom and all of the goods that had been stolen. And now he met King Melchizedek and the priest of the Most High God, learned a new truth about God. Aren't you glad that in the crisis of life we can learn something new about God? And Abraham learned something new about God. Then he won a spiritual victory over the king of Sodom, who sought to enrich him with the wealth of Sodom. And Abraham refused the riches of this world because he knew that God had something better for his life. And now you come to chapter 15, and where you had a high point, chapter 14, now you're going to have a low point in his life in chapter number 15. I thought about this. He's alone with his thoughts. He's back in Mamre. And you know, there's a danger at times when we're alone with our thoughts, and our thoughts begin to take us places they don't need to go, and thinking about the what-ifs of life. And many times that when you and I begin to think about the what-ifs of life, we begin to experience fear in our lives. That's exactly what happens to Abraham there in the plains of Mamre. He's reflecting over the events of the past several weeks or days, and he becomes aware that his little band of 318 men had won this stunning victory over this army that had invaded the land of Canaan on that punitive expedition over Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities there in the Jordan Valley. And then he began to grip his heart. Well, what's stopping him from coming back? I mean, here's this king. One time he invaded, and I want a victory. But what if he decides to raise another army and come back? And here I am in the plains of Mamre, and I'm all by myself, and I'm alone. And here I am, an older man. And what if he came back with a larger army or a bigger army? And next thing I know, he's wiped out my family, or wiped out everything that I've had, or maybe he's taken those that I love captive. And all these things begin to go through his mind. As he does so, God steps in on the scene. Aren't you glad that when we hit crisis moments in our life, that God comes to us? I want you to notice, first of all, in this moment of Abraham's life, as he's pondering how we ought to be careful that we gird up the loins of our mind, the Bible says that we, and that's the idea of gathering up our thoughts, not letting them go places that they don't need to go, and begin to say to ourselves things that we don't need to say, and then to allow ourselves to get caught up into fear and anxiety and worry over things that could happen or might happen but may never really happen. You ever really notice that? That's exactly where he's at. And I want you to notice, number one, God's concern for Abraham. God's concern for Abraham. In this crisis moment, God comes to him. Notice the Bible said, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision. Isn't that interesting that here's Abram, and he's filled with worry, he's filled with anxiety, he's filled with fear. And isn't it amazing how one moment he's on the mountaintop, in that crisis moment, he's not thinking about it. He's not worrying about it. I mean, he just does. You ever notice when the adrenaline kicks in and you just do? And God gave him a great victory out of that, and he's experiencing that. And now he's what? Wow, wait a minute. I just won this great victory, and this guy, he's going to come back after me, and I'm going to be in big trouble, and what if, and what if, and what if. And I'm just going to tell you, dear friend, there is no encouragement in the what ifs of life. So oftentimes we experience fear and anxiety and worry and all of that. And isn't it interesting that it's in that moment that God comes to Abram. And you know what? I'm glad that God comes to us, aren't you? Here's his child. Here's Abraham struggling in his inner self, and he's filled with this fear and this anxiety, and God comes on the scene. Hey, I just want to say, I am so thankful for the times that I hit the low points in life that God comes to me. Isn't that a blessing? You know, God doesn't always wait for us to come to Him. Aren't you glad for those times in life He comes to us? And he comes up. Notice that Genesis 15 is a chapter of first. Just take a moment. I want you to maybe jot this down. There are four key words or phrases that are mentioned for the very first time in the Bible. And I want to just point them out to you real quickly. Notice he said in verse number 15, the word of the Lord came. Did you see that? Do you realize that's the very first time that the word of the Lord came to someone in the Bible, and in the sense of how that it did in the life of Abraham? Another 139 times later, you're going to find it throughout the Old Testament, God's Word's going to come to somebody. I'm telling you what, I'm glad that God's Word, He didn't have a Bible like you and I have. God came. God spoke to Him. I'm glad that God comes to me. I'm glad that God can speak to us, aren't you? the word of the Lord. The Lord gave the word. Great is the company that published it. Friend, can I tell you, every chapter, every sentence, every word of the Bible, it comes directly from God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Every time you open this book, friend, God speaking, the word of the Lord comes to us. Isn't that encouraging? Notice another phrase here, and it's the phrase, fear not. Did you see that? That's an interesting phrase. He says to Abraham, the word of the Lord came to him in a vision saying, Abraham, fear not. You don't have to be afraid, Abraham. Fear not. I thought about that phrase, fear not. You're interested in knowing that there's after this moment, very first time this phrase is found in the Bible, it's going to occur another 366 times. Over 365 times, because 366 times in the Bible, God says, fear not, fear not, fear not. Let's look again at another phrase, and it's in this verse. He says, I am thy shield. You know, it's the first time that God tells anybody that He's their shield. And then I want you to look over, if you would, in verse number 6. The Bible said, and he believed in the Lord. You know, it's the first time you find the word believed in the Bible. Now, you're going to find faith throughout the Bible. Abel had faith in God. Adam and Eve had faith in the living God. Enoch had faith in God. But you don't. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And the book of Hebrews tells us that Abraham moved with fear, and by faith he built an ark. So we know that they had faith. It's the first time that we see faith in action in the Bible, where the word believed occurs in Scripture, and you're going to find it many, many times. God's got some great lessons He wants to teach us from the passage. First of all, His concern for Abraham. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. Not just the Lord, but the word of the Lord. Isn't it interesting that the resting place of faith is the same for Abraham, as it is for you and me? The word of the Lord. Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I'm glad that when we open the pages of the Word of God, which is absolute truth, and we hear from God, that our faith finds a resting place, that you and I, through the pages of Scripture, can nestle up to God and encourage our heart and find confidence and help and hope because of a God who always keeps His Word. God comes to him and He tells him to fear not. Don't be afraid, Abraham. We mentioned that's the most frequently used command in the Bible. Over 366 times, God's going to tell him to fear, not be afraid. And you say, preacher, why is that? Why did God say 366 times, don't be afraid, fear not? Because you and I are filled with fear. All of God's people throughout Scripture have battled this thing called fear. And it's interesting that Isaac, God said, fear not, Abraham's son. He's going to come to Joshua as he's getting ready to invade the land of Canaan. He says, fear not, Joshua. He thinks of Gideon as he faced the hordes of the Midianites, and he tells him to fear not. Jehoshaphat, Daniel, Joseph, Mary, the Apostle Peter, the women at the tomb, to you and I tonight, God says, don't be afraid, fear not. We don't have to fear. So often we're filled with fear. Do you know that when you think about 366 fear nots, that's one for every day of the year and an extra one thrown in for a leap year. Isn't that something? Because you know what? Every day of our lives, if we're not careful, the icy grip of fear can come into our hearts and into our lives. I love Isaiah 41:10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. You know what God's saying to Abraham? You don't have to be afraid of the what-ifs of life. When it comes to the what-ifs of our health, the what-ifs of our future, the what-ifs of our children. You know what I've learned now as a parent of adult children? That you actually have more fear and anxiety for your children after they're grown than when they're little. I thought, boy, if I could just get them out of diapers. Boy, if we could just get them out of diapers, boy, I'm telling you, everything's going to be all right. And then they become old enough to go to school. And then, you know, they're going to school. And you're thinking, boy, if I can just get them through those teen years, you know, everything's going to be all right. You know, and you know what teen years is, 13 to on up. You know what those years are? That's 7 years tribulation. Y'all just thought it was somewhere in the Bible, in the book of Revelation. That's actually parenting from 13 to 20, the 7 years tribulation period. But anyway, side the point. All those fears, but then now they're grown. They're on their own. You feel like when they're small, you got them close and you can protect them, but now you can't do that anymore. And that's where I just have to say, Lord, the icy hand of fear, I say, Lord, you know, they belong to you. You can do with them anything you want to do, God. They're yours. They're not mine. Because you know what? As a parent, we experience fear. Grandparents experience fear. We all experience fear in our lives. And God says, fear not. God's answer for our fear is faith. Hebrews 13:5, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Aren't you glad that our God comes to us? But not only do I see that God came, wow, what a God, that at a low point of His life, and He's filled with fear and anxiety and worry, that God comes to Him. I am so thankful for those times that I'm alone in my thoughts, and fear and anxiety and worry begins to creep into my heart, and God comes alongside me and whispers sweet peace into my ear. And you say, preacher, what does He say? Friend, He doesn't say anything that He hadn't already said in His book, the Bible. By the way, the more of this you have in your heart, the more God can speak to your heart. We find that He comes to Abraham, and we see His concern for him. And I just want to say for you, dear child of God, and God's concerned about you. He's concerned about what's going on in your life. He's concerned about what's going on in your family. He's concerned about what's going to happen in your future. God is concerned about you. That's important. You know what I care about? What God cares about, I should care about. And what I care about, God cares about. Have you ever noticed that? And I want you to notice, not only was God concerned for Abraham, number two, God cared for Abraham. Look, if you would, verse 1 again. He said, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Can I show you another quick I am? Another quick first. And that is the I am statement. Did you see that? I am thy shield and thy exceeding. That's the first of the great I am statements of Scripture. There's one going to come in the book of John who's going to say, I am the bread of life. I am the water of life. I am. Aren't you glad that our God's not the I was God or the I will be God? He's the I am God. He's the God that we need at that moment. He's a very present God. It reminds us in the crisis moments of life that He's to us everything that we need. He's His protection, His protector. Notice He said, I am thy shield. Abraham, you're worried about Attila the Hun over there in the Fertile Crescent. You're worried about Chedorlaomer and all these kings and their armies and what could happen and what if they came back and what if you were embroiled in a battle and what if you were wiped out? What if all of my promises were wiped out and you were taken captive? What if everything that you'd hoped and dreamed for is wiped out by that wicked man, that dictator, what if? And He says, I'm your shield, Abraham. I'm your protector. I'm glad tonight that God's our protector. A shield is something behind which you take cover. The enemy's shooting at you. Something strong enough to repel the blows that are intended to harm you. And God didn't say, I'm going to give you a shield. He said, I am your shield, Abraham. Abraham, you don't have to be afraid. I'm your defender, your protector. I'm standing between you and your enemies. You know, I'm glad that, listen, we have our enemies tonight, don't we? Devil fights against us, shoots his fiery darts of fear and worry and anxiety and doubt into our lives, and it begins to grip hold of us. I'm glad that there's one that's our shield tonight that can quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. I'm glad that when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord will raise up a standard against him. He's our shield. I believe it brought Abraham peace in that moment. Peace is not the absence of danger, but the presence of Jesus. Remember, Jesus said that Abraham rejoiced to see his day and he saw it and was glad. Most people believe that was Genesis 22. I believe it was Genesis 15. The Word of the Lord came to him. Who's the Word of the Lord? It's the Lord Jesus. He's the living Word. And the living Word came to him, and there he saw Him in the sense that Jesus became real to him. The Word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Isn't that interesting? The presence of the Lord was with him. The beginning of anxiety is the end of faith, George Mueller says, and the beginning of faith is the end of anxiety. Fear knocked, faith answered, and no one was there. Isn't that amazing? When fear knocks and faith answers, no one's there. Faith dispels our fear. Let me give you some verses when fear grips your heart and maybe the enemies are battling against you. Let me give you some verses. 2 Samuel 22 and verse 3. Jot that one down. 2 Samuel 22, verse 3, the God of my rock, in Him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence. Psalm 28, verse 7, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in Him and I am helped. Aren't you glad that God helps us? Therefore my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song will I praise Him. Psalm 91, verse 4, He shall cover thee with His feathers. Under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and thy buckler. Proverbs 30, verse 5, every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. Ephesians 6, 16, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all, not some, not most, but all the fire. Fiery darts of the wicked one. He's our protector. But then notice this. He's our provider. He's our provider. Look what He says in verse number 1 again. He said, fear not, Abram. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Isn't that amazing? He just turned down a great reward. Remember, the king of Sodom came after the battle, and Abram, he went and he fought this battle against these kings that invaded the Jordan Valley and had defeated the five kings of the valley there and taken all the people captive that hadn't fled from the battle and all of the wealth as they had spoiled those cities and took Abram, well, probably wouldn't have got involved in that, and took Lot, his nephew. And then Abram goes and he rescues Lot. He rescues all the captives. He rescues all and recovers all of the stuff that had been stolen and by these armies. And he brings it all back. And then the king of Sodom, who had already been whipped by these same kings, shows up. He says, listen, you just give me the people and you have all the rest of it. Like he had any of it. It was Abram that had it all. And Abram looked at him. He said, I have lifted up my hand to the Most High God possessor. I'm not going to take a thread to a sandal strap, a shoe latchet from you, lest thou sayest that I've made a... He said, I don't want anything you or this world has to offer, King of Sodom. I can imagine him going back and telling Sarah, you did what? You gave it all back? You didn't take any of it? No, I didn't. I gave it all back. I wonder if he began to think about what he gave up. You know, sometimes our heart, we look back on it and think, boy, that was a dumb thing to do. I mean, I could have had all that wealth, and I could have bought more servants, and I could have done, you know, or I could have paid my servants better. I could have bought more cattle and donkeys and camels and all of that, and I could have provided well for my family even better. And all of the, you know, he could have thought all those things began to come into his mind, and God came to him and he said, listen, I just want to remind you, not my shield, but I'm your reward, Abraham. You know, greater than the material riches of Sodom is the heavenly riches of knowing God. Abram, you have me. You don't need that, Abram. You don't need what the world has to offer. God wanted Abraham to get beyond the promise to the promiser. Sometimes, you see, what happens is we get caught up with the tangible, and God's wanting us to grasp hold of the intangible. We get caught up with what we see, and God wants us to get caught up with what we can't see. He wants to remind us that there's a wealth greater than anything this world has to offer. And friend, listen, we need to get beyond the protection to the protector, beyond the provision to the provider, getting beyond the blessing to the blesser. He's saying, Abraham, I'm better and I'm greater. If you had nothing, you have everything, Abraham, because you have me. Can I tell you, friend, there's just some things this world can't buy. There's things this world can't provide. This world can never give you peace. So you can buy sleep, but you can't buy peace. This world can never give me contentment. This world can never give me satisfaction. This world can never come along and give me the things that God gives me. Friend, if it would, then Hollywood wouldn't be a mess tonight. Friend, can I tell you, if we have Him, we have it all. Colossians 2, 3, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You see, if we have Jesus, we have everything, don't we? We notice, if you would please with me tonight, that we see that in this moment that God's concern for Abraham, in the moment of his hour of crisis, that God came to him. I'm so grateful that in my moments of crisis, God comes alongside me. He's my advocate. He's my helper. He's my shield. Not only has He come to me and His concern for me, but He cares for us. He's our protector. Aren't you glad that God is our shield and our exceeding great reward? He's our provider. He is. You know, safety is of the Lord. I thought about the highway and the danger of riding on the highway. I'll tell you what, it's serious business anymore getting on the highway and drive it. It is. Some of our people experienced that even recently. There's more people on the roads looking at their phone than there are looking at the road. Now, I'm not trying to preach against cell phone and texting while you're driving, although that'd be a good topic. It can wait. There's nothing going to come my way so urgent that I can't be in a safe place to look at it. That's just common sense, isn't it? But I realize that any safety that my children have or our family has or our church has, if any safety, it comes from the Lord. Safety is of the Lord. I get in my car and I begin to maybe go on a trip. My wife and I went up over last Friday and Saturday to see her mom. Her mom's aged and her mom's battling pretty major dementia. My own self, my family, and my mom and dad had some things that I needed to do for them. And I spent the day Saturday just doing things that they needed done around the house and spending time with them. Before I ever left the driveway, I said, honey, let's bow our heads, be and talk to God. It's not our prowess behind the wheel. It's God who's our protection. Listen, safety's of the Lord. I pray a hand of protection around my children every day as I think about that they'll travel or they'll go somewhere, and I say, God, would you let your angels camp around about that vehicle and protect them? I can't do it, but Lord, you can. Aren't you glad He's our protector tonight? Let me give you the third thing real quick tonight. God's commitment to Abraham. It's in this moment that Abraham begins to take a burden to the Lord. Aren't you glad that we can cast our burden upon the Lord because He cares for us? He'll sustain us. Abram's burdened about something. He's been 10 years in Canaan. He went there because God gave him a promise. God said, I'm going to give you a land, Abraham. I'm going to make you a blessing, and it's all surrounding a seed. I'm going to give you a child. Remember, Sarah's barren. She can't have any children. He doesn't have a child of his own, and all the promises of God are bound up in a child that God's going to give Abraham. 10 years have come and gone, and there's no child. And he begins to take his burden to the Lord. Look what he says, verse 2. And Abram said, Lord God. And I love that. That's Adonai Elohim. It's Sovereign Master. Sovereign God. What wilt thou give me? Lord, what are you going to give me, seeing I go childless? Lord, you promised me a seed. And the steward, the one who is of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house. He's talking about Eliezer is mine heir, that in that day that the master would have a trusted servant or steward that would take the place of a son, and he would be the heir. He would bequeath all that he had to that trusted servant, this young man by the name of Eliezer. And he said, Lord, that's all I have. I don't have anything else. And God, you promised me a son. You promised me a seed. You promised me, God, that in him all these promises would be bound up. And Lord, I don't understand. 10 years have come and gone. And God, I still don't have what you promised me. Look, verse 4. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him saying, this shall not be thine heir. Eliezer is not going to be your heir. This is not my plan, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. It's going to be your own son, not an adoptive son that you're going to, or a servant that you're going to, that's going, but I'm going to give you a child. Verse 5, and he, talking about God, brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell, count the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. Abraham's pouring out his heart to God, his concern about an heir. He's 85 years old. He's not getting any younger. And without an heir, the promise of a great nation, the promise of a land, the promise of descendants, the promises of a blessing, all of those things in his mind are just empty promise. You know, the Bible says, heaven is in the heart of man, maketh it stoop. And he's already filled with fear. He's filled with anxiety. He's stressed out, worried about what's going to happen for the future. And then he's got this burden that he's been there 10 years and he doesn't have a son yet. Proverbs 13:12, hope deferred maketh the heart sick. He's discouraged. Can I just say something tonight? God's delays are not always God's denials. Just because something isn't happening that you prayed for doesn't mean that it's not going to happen. Just jot down Isaiah 40, verse 31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. See, Abram, he struggled with something all of us struggle with. We say, preacher, what is it? Waiting. We struggle with waiting, and we don't understand. We want it right now. God, you promised it. Where is it? That's what we want. We're praying for that wayward son or daughter. We're praying for that loved one to be saved. We're praying for God to do something in our lives. And it just seems like that time is ticking on as if God's not hearing me. I want to remind you that God's delays are not God's denials. That doesn't mean that God's not hearing your prayer. That doesn't mean that God's not interested in what's going on in your life. That doesn't mean that God's helpless or can't do what needs to be done in your life. God's at work, and we need to let God work. He doesn't work on my timetable nor yours. He works on His own. And that's something Abraham's learning. He's saying, Abraham, Eliezer's not going to be your heir. You and Sarah is going to have a son, and that's going to be your heir. He gave him a promise in verse number 4. And then he gave him a pledge. He said, I want you to come outside. Evidently, he came to Abraham when they were in the tent, and he and Abraham's been talking through the day, and maybe it's nighttime now. Maybe it's the evening time and the stars are beginning to shine brightly in that Middle Eastern sky. And he brought him outside the tent and I thought about it. He's saying, come outside with me, Abraham, and let's take a walk. Can you imagine walking with God? And here's God and Abraham walking together. He said, don't you look up into the heavens, Abraham? And he began to look up into that Middle Eastern sky. And his eyes widened as he began to see everything up there. And he said, I just want you to, Abraham, he's saying, I want you to know I hung every one of these stars in space. Well, I did all that, Abraham. I just want you to look up and see what I did. You don't think I can't provide you a son? If I can put that star in that place right there, I can give you a son. And amazing that three times God's going to use nature as a picture of Abraham's seed. In Genesis 13:6, it's going to be the dust of the earth. Genesis 15:5, it's the stars in the sky. And in Genesis 22:17, it's sand on the seashore. Dust and sand refers to earthly descendants. He's the father of the nation of Israel. I'm going to talk about this important covenant with the nation of Israel and God's plan for Israel at some point. The stars are His heavenly or spiritual descendants. He's the father of all them that believe. You see, not every Israelite's a saved person. So He's got an earthly seed, the nation of Israel. He's got a heavenly seed, all those that place their faith in Christ. And he makes a pledge. He says, Abraham, now I want you to count those stars that I placed in the heavens. See if you can number them. I can see Abraham beginning to count. He's saying, Lord, they're innumerable. He said, so shall thy seed be. That's how many descendants I'm going to give you. It's innumerable. I love verse number 6. There's a principle. And he, Abram, believed in the Lord, and he counted to him for righteousness. Abraham's faith was in the Lord. You see, for faith to be valid, it must have the right object. All kinds of people have faith. You know, but sometimes it's a misguided faith. Many times it's a misguided faith. Faith is only as good as the object in which it's placed. And Abraham had a valid place for faith because he placed his faith in God. That word believe, used for the first time in the Bible, it means to lean one's whole weight upon. It means to throw your feet up. That I'm not looked, it's not anything I'm doing. It's everything that God's doing. We get our English word amen from that word. So be it, God. You've said it, Lord. So be it. Amen. I believe. That's it. And notice what God did. He counted it to him for righteousness. That means to apply or put to one's faith. We call that imputation or imputed. It's to put to one account. So we got people in the banking industry in our church, and when you go make a deposit, they impute that to your account. What that means is they put it to your account. That's what they do. And you know, at that moment, God applied righteousness to Abraham's account. Abraham was justified and declared righteous before God. You know what we would say? He was saved. Here's a great principle. This is a great Old Testament text teaches us that salvation, a right relationship with God, is obtained by faith. It's not by Abraham believed God before there was a law. He believed God before circumcision. He believed God before anything that any kind of religious ritual you would find in the Old Testament or the New Testament. No, Abraham was made righteous by faith, and the only way anybody can ever be made righteous before God is by faith. It's the faith principle. You find that in the book of Romans, Romans chapter 4. You find it Galatians chapter 3. Let me just give them to you. Romans chapter 4, verse 3. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Romans chapter 4, verses 21 and 22. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed, it was counted to him for righteousness. Galatians 3, 6. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. The faith which is counted for righteousness was the faith which believed what God said, what God had said concerning the sea. It was this instance of Abram's faith that the Holy Spirit was pleased to use or select as the model for saving faith. Abraham, by faith, looked forward to Jesus. He did. He looked forward. He didn't understand everything you and I understand, but God preached the gospel before to Abraham that in you all the families of the earth are going to be blessed. Through you is going to come a Redeemer. Through you are going to come hope and the promise of salvation. Salvation and redemption. It's through you, Abraham. And Abraham, he believed the Lord, the Bible said. He believed it. We look back on him, he's already come. You know, everybody, it doesn't matter whether it's Old Testament or New Testament, everybody gets saved the same way. People didn't get saved in the Old Testament by keeping the Ten Commandments. They didn't get saved in the Old Testament by offering animal sacrifices. No, those were just pictures. That's all they were. The blood of bulls and goats couldn't take away sin. No. They were saved by faith in a coming Redeemer. We're saved if we're saved tonight because we believed on the Redeemer that's come. What a blessing. He counts it to him for righteousness. Genesis 15:6 may be one of the most important verses in your Old Testament. You ought to circle it. You ought to put stars around it. Because you're going to find it time and time again in the New Testament. He's the Father of all them that believe. That means He's the one who God has chosen and selected to be the model of everyone else that would follow after who would come to Christ and believe on Him. What a promise. What a blessing. He looked up and he said, God, I believe. And God said, You're righteous. I'm glad for a night in 1984 when I said, Lord, I believe. I was made righteous in that moment. Righteousness is not something that God just puts to our account. It's something that God puts to us in Christ. We're made righteous in Him, that I have His righteousness. God doesn't see me in the filthy rags of my own unrighteousness. Thankfully, He sees me in His Son. What hope, what encouragement that is tonight. Isn't God good tonight? Dear child of God, aren't you glad that God doesn't see you what you used to be? He sees you who you are in His Son right now. That's why He can bless us. That's why He can come to us. That's why He can care for us. He sees us covered in the righteousness of His own dear Son, Jesus Christ. I'm glad when God sees me, my sins are gone. Isn't that a blessing? Oh, how precious that is. What God did for Abraham, He's done for everybody since that believed the way Abraham believed. You say, preacher, I don't know that I'm righteous tonight. You know what you need to do? You need to do what Abraham did. Lord, I believe. I trust You. I can't save myself. I can't make myself acceptable to You. I can't make myself righteous before You. I can't earn my way to heaven. Lord, You've already provided it all in Your Son through His death at Calvary, His resurrection. You paid for my sins. I believe. That's it. The moment we believe, friend. I've had people tell me, they'd say this, and I know people at times come forward, but you know, and I understand that. People will come to an altar or whatever, and all of that, or maybe somebody's led to Christ in their home. I've had people tell me that they just believe God saved them when they got up out of their seat. I don't have any problem with that. I don't. If they've exercised faith, the moment we exercise faith in the living God for salvation, at that moment, friend, God counts us righteous in His Son. That's it. It's faith. It's not anything that we do. It's not in the magic of a prayer. It's not in the magic of anything that I do. No. All the prayer's doing is voicing my belief to God. That's all that it does. That's it. I believe many times that when we've exercised faith that the prayer, it's just going through the motion. The salvation's already taken place because I believed. Now, for some people, through that prayer, they believe. It's just, but it's faith. That's the crux of it. It's faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. See, the question is, did I believe on Him? And if you believed on Him, not just I believe it's all true, not just this thing of, yes, I believed in Jesus all my life, you know, and I know He came and I know He died. No, that's not that. It's, Lord, I'm a sinner. I believe. That's it. That's where it's at. And God counts it to us for righteousness. Say, preacher, did anybody ever get saved without praying? Absolutely. Cornelius. He never prayed. Matter of fact, Peter was preaching. He believed and the Holy Ghost fell on him right then. Isn't that amazing? See, it's faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Believing the gospel that saves people. And it's all pictured and a man by the name of Abraham. You see, God committed Himself to Abraham because Abraham believed God. God will commit Himself to you in salvation if you believe Him. Isn't that right? Or He already has committed Himself to you if you have believed. And what God's promised, He'll never take away. Isn't that a blessing? I'm glad that once we believe. When you say, preacher, what if I unbelieve? You can't do that. You can't do that. You can't unbelieve. No, you exercise faith. You trusted Christ. He abides faithful. See, salvation's leaning my weight on Him. It's not what I did. It's not even the size or the strength of my faith. It's the greatness of the Savior that saves. Isn't that right? Wow, what a Savior. Wow, what a God. Wow, what a God. There's so many people trying to get to heaven. God said, you don't get here that way. It's by trusting. Putting your faith in Me, My Son. That's it. That's where it's at. He's faithful, isn't He, tonight? Always keeps His Word. I'm so thankful for Abraham, but I'm telling you, I'm more thankful for the God of Abraham. Wow, what a God. And I just want to say, wow, Abraham's God is my God. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Is Abraham's God your God tonight? Have you received Him? Have you entered into a relationship with